Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Now, we've been stopping there. We're going to stop there, Marriott. And because we're only talking about love, and love is the agape. So all those other fruit come out of the agape. And the agape is the supernatural love of God. So all those other fruit, it's not fruits, it's fruit. That's produced out of the agape love. So the agape love has to be there in order for the peace and the joy and the kindness and the gentleness to be produced. That's what we've been talking about. So while you're standing, I believe this is what God is really doing in His church, is developing people in ways that He hasn't, that the way He's always been. But it's at another level right now because of what's going on around us. So Wednesday night, I was talking to the people. And on Wednesday night, we get down and dirty on Wednesday. We get really into the Word, and we crack it open and extrapolate what's in there, and you can get a good peek at what's going on, right? So I told them Wednesday night, I said, your peers, your neighbors, your classmates, your bosses, your family, your online interactions, all have expectations. And the pool of all those different relationships and people, the pool is wider and deeper and getting way more dangerous. Did you hear me? And getting way more dangerous. Every one of those voices in our pool has an expectation about how you should be, how we should act, what choices we should make. We can feel the weight of that. Can anybody relate what I'm saying? You can feel the weight on that, pulling you one way and pulling you another, and pushing you in one way and pushing you in another. It's pushing you away from your authentic self toward whatever they want and expect in their desires. Did you hear that? Anybody relate to that? Listen, that's called conformity. Conformity. The Bible says we're not to conform to this world, right? But to be transformed. We don't want to be conformed to all those other voices, what they're looking for. Amen? So look, if I'm going to become me and my true identity, I need to live as myself. I need to function out of my own unique identity. I can't be the person God made me to be if I am attempting to become the person they all expect me to be. And God is calling you, be you. See that? And that's what His calling is. His calling is His Word goes out and it puts demands on your deficiencies. But He's calling the real you to come to fruition. You see that? So, and He does it with His love and His Word and the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at this. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 13:6. Love does not rejoice in what? Iniquity. But rejoices in the truth. What's an iniquity? Remember, we talked about it last week. Iniquity are, it's patterns in our life that keep you in sin. And if you look it up in the Vines Expository, it says lawlessness. That's what the word means, lawlessness. Iniquity means lawlessness. So now think about this. If iniquity means lawlessness, he says in Matthew 24, 10 and 11, it says, because lawlessness is abounding, the love of many is growing cold. So if lawlessness is abounding, if it's increasing, it's ubiquitous, right? It's everywhere. It can cause your love to grow cold. One translation says, because iniquity is abounding, the love of many is growing cold. In Matthew 24, 10 through 12. So now think about this. When you don't understand that, we all have iniquities, right? Where do iniquities come from? Remember, the Bible teaches us that iniquities, remember, they're not sin. They're patterns in your life that keep you in sin. And we have to identify them. So it talks about in Lamentations 5, 7, it says this. Our fathers sinned, but we bear their iniquities. See that? So in other words, we're carrying their patterns. Here's why. Because those patterns get passed on to you. And it talks about in Exodus 20, verse 4, it says that God visits the iniquities of the fathers on the children as far back as 3 and 4 generations. So he's visiting that. Now listen, because it can be passed on. And it is passed on. It's passed on through the seed of the father. You may not even know who your father is. But you got traits and you got patterns in your life from him. Making sense? And you'll do things. You wonder why you're doing them. Because you're acting like he did. You don't even know him, maybe. I know people have been in my office, never met their dad. And they're doing that. You understand what I'm saying? So now think about this. So then it says, it's been passed on to you. And so it talks about in Lamentations 2:14, it says your prophets have seen visions, false and deceptive visions. Therefore, they have not uncovered your iniquity, and you remain in captivity. So what that's saying is, the preachers and the prophets in that day weren't preaching what God's word was saying. They were preaching what they wanted to say. See, your iniquity is uncovered when the truth is proclaimed. See, that's what the truth does. The truth comes out, and it shows you those patterns in your life. So you can make an adjustment in your life to be free. Because the truth does what? It sets you free. And so that's why it's important to be in a house, in a body of Christ, where the word of God is going forth, prophesied over you, because it's showing you those areas. He says your visions, their visions are false and deceptive visions. The word vision there is the word revelation. So in other words, their vision and revelation, it's false. It's not coming from God. Revelation and vision are synonymous, same words. And this is what that means, a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. So what happens when you're in a house where the word of God is going forth, it's prophetic and it's uncovering areas of your life so God can show you the area he's trying to redeem. You see that? So he will show you those iniquities so you can make adjustments to get out of them. So you're not held captive and stuck and being held hostage from doing his will. You can't get to his will without the truth. Making sense? So that's why we need to be somewhere where the word of God is going forth and calling us to your true identity. And your true identity comes from God. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. It says he's going to perform his word. You see that? He says his word has gone out and he's going to perform his word. Now, think about this. It talks about in 2 Timothy 2:19. I'm just trying to help you see some things. Because if we can see, if you can't see it, you can't be it, right? So we want to be able to see it. So now, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ say it. Depart from iniquity. So if we're going to name the name of Christ, he says we should depart from iniquity. We should depart from those patterns that were passed on to us, right? So we can be get the truth and be free. So now look, the word depart is a sailor's term. And it was a term that sailors used and farmers used. But when sailors used this term, there would be a storm and they would throw out their anchor in the storm to hold them in the storm. And then when the storm was over, they would, when it was time to depart, they would pull up the anchor and set sail. See, they had sails then. That's how they navigated. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like the wind. When it blows, you can't see it. But it's. I remember when I was a kid watching out the window, our garbage cans blew over because I was responsible for taking them in and out, and I had to go catch them. But they blew over, and stuff was, little pieces of paper was in them and blew all down. I couldn't get it. So the wind came and blew it. He says, that's the way the Holy Spirit is. You can't see it, but it's blowing. Well, see, that's what happens when you depart from that iniquity. The Holy Spirit now moves you like that sailboat so you can get to your destiny. God has a destiny for all of us. We want to be moved by the Holy Spirit to get there. Are you listening to me? And that's what, when we deal with those areas, they can't hold us back anymore. Because the Holy Spirit is going to continue to move us to our destiny and our purpose. So that's why we want to be able to identify these patterns in our life. And as we do, we get delivered. Now, okay, I want you to give me Deuteronomy there, Mariette. I want you to see something. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your, what? Descendants may live. So he's saying when you choose life, your children are going to live. See that? By the choices you make, your children are going to live. So what he's saying is when you choose life, you choose him. Jesus said, my words, they are life and they are spirit. When you choose him, you choose his word and his will and his way. You get life. And what happens is now, because you made that choice, your children are going to make that choice. Come on now. We got to understand this. Because if we don't understand this, we'll let those iniquities... He says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We've everyone turned towards his own way. And the Lord has laid upon us the iniquities of us all. And those iniquities have taken you away. They take you away from God. See that? They move you away from God's will. You want to be in God's will. See that? You want to be in God's will. So the choices you make are affecting your children directly. Give me that verse in Isaiah 54, verse 13, I believe it is. How many children? All your children. Listen, he's prophesying after the cross. This is after the cross. In 53, he says Jesus was wounded. He's prophesying. He was wounded for our transgressions, that's sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. Remember, a bruise is an inward bleeding. So he was bruised on the inside. So he could set us free on the inside. Because we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You see that? You're redeemed. He wants to redeem those areas that aren't producing, so you can be free to do his will. Now, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. That word peace means made well. Shalom. Made well. Don't you want your children to be made well? That has a lot to do with your choices and decisions. You need to pay attention to what you're paying attention to. You see, when you pay attention, you're making an investment. When you pay something, you're investing in something. When I invest in that, I'm going to reap a harvest. You see that? When you pay attention, you're going to reap a harvest to what you're paying attention to. You see, you better pay attention to make sure what you're paying attention to is worth what you're paying attention to. You see, that's why he says, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Out of your heart comes the issues of your life, the choices you're making. We making sense? Now you can find that in Proverbs 4:20 through 24. You can look at that later. Okay, now look at this next one. In righteousness, what's he say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. Far from oppression. Why? For you shall not fear. You see that? And from terror, for it shall not come near you. He's talking about now. Our children are going to be taught of the Lord. Are they being? This is the way we're supposed to be living. Am I making sense? This is prophecy of how we're to be living now. He said oppression's going to be far from you. You know, this week, I thought, well, I need to call somebody in my family. Well, I did, and got off the phone, and if they're watching, don't get mad at me. I was talking about some things. I'm going on a trip with my son, and we're going to go camping on the Appalachian Trail in the Smoky Mountains and do a little hiking. My son and my grandson. I can't wait. You know what tickles me? It even wants to. I know a lot of people my age, they don't even have any connection going with their kids. I gotta be in touch with my kids. Are you with me? This pool's getting wider. Are you listening to me? So now, he made all these arrangements, and I'm tickled. So I told, you know what this my sister said? She said, you know what she said to me? She says, you know, there's bears out there. I don't know if I would go. There's bears. Those bears will get you. I've heard about bears out there. And then she started talking about this and talking about all this fear. And it tried to get on me after I got off the phone. I said, well, I'm going to have to go, you know. I just, bless your heart if you're watching. Is this all right? I'm trying to help you see something. Fear will hold you and keep you away from the will of God. And so I called Donita. I needed me a little encouragement. She encouraged me big time. I got off the phone. Woohoo! It went away. But here's why it went away. I was praising God. Remember? When you praise God, you interrupt the enemy when he sends thoughts. Remember? You praise, you silence the enemy. It talks about in Psalms 8. You silence the enemy because the principle of praise is in place. When that principle is in place, the enemy can't get in. You silence the enemy by what comes out of your mouth. Remember? We're to think on things whatever praiseworthy. And I began to think, get my mind back where I belonged, and I was good, happy. Here's my point. When you start agreeing with the enemy, that's his entry point into your life. And he's always trying to get you to fear. And what happens is when you agree with some of those negative thoughts, you are in agreement with it. It works the same way your faith works. See, faith is if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confession is a big deal. So when you confess truth, it brings salvation. Love rejoices in the truth. Think about this. But when I get in agreement with the devil, then now he's going to bring that mess into my life. Pay attention to this right here, right now. Remember, what you pay attention to is what you're investing in. When you pay attention to those negative voices, if you don't bring them through the blood, in other words, your past. Let's say you're paying attention to some things in the past. We were talking about the past and stuff, and a lot of that was going on. So if you're paying attention to your past, listen to me, and you don't take those thoughts through the blood of Jesus, you're in agreement with the enemy. Because the blood removed all those things. Past, present, future. When you pay attention to those thoughts and come in agreement, and you don't take them through the blood of Jesus, they're illegal for the kingdom. The kingdom can't advance. You can't advance anything with those negative thoughts for God. You see that? It's illegal. But it's legal when it comes through the blood. Now listen, this is what happens. When it's illegal, you become full of shame, guilt, condemnation. That's not from God. Come on, are you listening to me? That's not from God. So when you have guilt, condemnation, and shame, you can know I'm agreeing with the enemy, because that's not from God. You see that? But when you bring those thoughts through the blood of Christ and his word, it brings freedom. You hear me? Fear is the entry point to access you. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy your life, to get you away from God's will. Fear is an agreement with the accuser. Think about this. Give me Isaiah 54, 17. So when we're in agreement with the enemy, he's manipulating, intimidating, and trying to control us. But if we'll come to our awareness, see, that's why the word of God is so important. It says in James 1:21, it says it's the implanted word. We're to receive the implanted word with meekness, which is able to save your soul. The enemy will send stuff and try to get you distracted, but if you've got that word in you, it can tear it down. It can stop it in its tracks. That's why it talks about in 2 Corinthians 10:3, we do not war in the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in the God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What we do is we bring that word up in us. It will drive out that lie. It will drive it out if you bring it up. But you got to bring it up. Are we making sense? That's why he says when the enemy comes in, like the flood, the Spirit of the Lord inside you raises up a standard. The standard is the word you receive with meekness. That's the standard. It's campaigning inside of you. This is the truth. This is it here. All right, I got it. It can't have its work in your life. You see that? Think about this. You empower the enemy, and that's where shame, guilt, and condemnation come. Because you give him the authority. Because you're in agreement with him. Remember? It's only legal to perceive our past through blood of Jesus. If you don't get anything today, you need to get that right there. It's only legal. And legal meaning in God's kingdom. Because it's illegal in the world. Anything of past in the world, right? You catching that? In God's kingdom, it has to be legal. And love, his love, the royal law of love. It doesn't function in lawlessness. It's got to be him. He's got to be in it. See, that's why agape is so important. Agape isn't lawlessness. It's him, his power and presence. And it's going to get you through. When you hold on to that agape, when you hold on to the agape love, whatever area of your life you're holding on to it in, it's going to get better in your marriage, in your relationships, in your own personal well-being, in your finances, in your health. When you hold on to that, that's the kingdom of God. We've been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love and the Son of His agape. It's in that agape love that the kingdom of God is advanced. This is how we advance the kingdom of God. And you'll find that verse in Colossians 1:13. So check me out. That's why Paul said in Colossians, he said, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the basic principles of the world, according to the traditions of men, and not according to Christ. You see, you get cheated when you don't do it Christ's way. You see that? And the word cheat means to decay, rot, and deteriorate. What's decaying, rotting, and deteriorating? God's will. That's what you're getting cheated out of. But when you do it Christ's way, you get His will. And it always gets better. Every time. Okay, look here. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. You see that? This is our heritage. In other words, every voice of darkness that tries to come your way, it's your heritage to condemn that voice and cancel it out and go God's way. Did you hear me? Every voice, you have the inheritance. You have the authority. Stop that voice. You know, he says you'll condemn it. The word condemn means forfeit. You'll forfeit that negativity showing up in your life. But if you get in agreement with it, it's going to come in. Are we making sense? Now, think about this. We can stop those voices. Give me, Mariette, give me the John 17 verses. This is the solution. This is the remedy for iniquities in your life. You want them out? This is how we do it. Remember, we choose life. See that? We don't end up passing them on. So now look. This is Jesus talking. Sanctify them by your word, by your truth. And then he says what? Your word is truth. He's saying sanctify them by the truth. What? Love rejoices in what? The truth. What's truth mean? Nothing concealed. We don't have anything to hide. But he says, look. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you, Jesus is talking, as you sent me into the world, he's talking to the Father, he's praying for the world, I also have sent them into the world. Who's them? The disciples and who? You. That's us. Excellent. And for their sakes, meaning you and the disciples, me. Now, sanctify, when kings were going to get married, the queen, the bee, would be had to go through sanctification. And when she went through sanctification, she changed the way she ate. She changed the way she dressed. She changed the way she talked. She changed the people she hung around with. She changed the places she went to because she was being sanctified.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.